Good evening, church.
Good evening.
Hope everyone's had a great day. It's been a beautiful day. We had a good time, a good service this morning. Had a lot of good singing, a lot of good preaching, good message. So let's stand and sing number 514 when we all get to heaven.
Hit that note at the end of that chorus. I ain't hitting it today.
They got it in me.
It's good to see all of you tonight, and I am so thankful you made the effort to come out, and also grateful that we had to print off more copies of our lesson tonight, so better than expected. But tonight we'll be in the book of Galatians chapter 5. The book of Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to be going over some, I guess it would be very familiar stuff if you were raised in the church. We're going to be looking at the fruits of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit. This morning, as we looked at the continued on as you're turning to Galatians chapter 5, in our study about Thus Saith the Lord, we see to where we can be moral people, but not be a saved people. That the Lord looks on the heart, and that we can do and act what the world expects, especially out of those that live in the Bible Belt. But the Lord doesn't judge our actions as much as He does our hearts and the motives that's behind our actions. And, you know, sometimes somebody told me at the door that it's difficult to look at yourself sometimes after you've been saved for a while and recognize that there is still sin in your life. that it may not be that blatant and outward sinfulness, but that we still at many times have the attitude of sin. And so tonight I want us to look at the evidence of our salvation. And it's not just about what we're doing, but it's about what the Holy Spirit is producing in our life, something that we didn't have before we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But so tonight we'll be looking at Galatians chapter 5, and then I'll also be reading out of Ephesians chapter 5. There's three fruits of the Spirit listed there. But if you're watching by Facebook or if you're listening by the radio, we again want to tell you thank you for allowing us to be with you, and we invite you to come and be with us in a service. There's three times in the week. You can come on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights at 6, or Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. And we just want to love on you and meet you face to face. But if you don't remember anything else, as you're turning to the book of Galatians chapter 5, remember that nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let him, he'll do even greater things. But so tonight, before we get into our lesson, fruit salad is what it's called on y'all's spiritual fruit salad. Do we have any words of praise or testimony before we go into our prayer time? What was that?
It's been a good day.
Oh, been a wonderful day. Amen. Amen. I know we had a great turnout today. And people come back. Thank the Lord that we at least give us another shot for a little bit. It's good. What's that first name? You say a pneumonia. My great aunt, Miss Betty Grisham, she watched us out of Texas. In the past 2 weeks, she was diagnosed with pneumonia, hospitalized, and passed away. And so just be praying for her family as well. Anyone else? Paul Stapleton. Miss Jessie Bull and Miss Pam Savorsky are needing prayer. Brother Paul, was you?
Glenn Taylor.
Preacher?
Preacher, he's going to be having surgery Tuesday morning.
Where's he pastor at again? I just ain't.
Hills Chapel.
Good man. They're moving all day long right now. Amen. His hands are on us, his angels. Anyone else? And remember, your praises and your answered prayers are good for other people to hear. It's good for people to know that God is working, because sometimes it feels like a desert in our lives. You know, you don't see his hand, you don't feel his presence. And so it's good to hear it. Amen. How are the Storms men doing?
Doing good. I seen the oldest one. That's a lie. The oldest boy that I've been in. Okay, he was on the beach in 2001 instead. His grandson, he was the last one. But he stayed with me.
Praise the Lord, he's got somebody, though.
He's
got somebody.
Yeah.
Anyone else, word of praise or testimony? Also, it won't be long before the school buses is running again and teachers back in the classrooms. We will. Anyone else?
Grace Jones. She lives in the Kansas City. She has cancer.
Anyone? I just want to say praise the Lord for what he did this morning after the conversation and service we had last Sunday night. You know, God is faithful. And he knows what we need when we need it, you know. And is there any other praise report or prayer request tonight? We like y'all too. We glad y'all here. If nothing else, we want people to know they're loved, you know. And we are glad you're here and thankful for you. Anyone else? I do remind you that the altar is always open. You don't need an invitation from me or anyone in this church to come to this altar. But also, there's no better place to be found than the altar. And so if the Lord draws you, you come. I'm going to ask Brother Otis if he would to open us up in prayer, remembering these needs, but also inviting the Holy Spirit to guide us in our study. All right. How many of you did get a study guide or a worksheet tonight? Does anybody need one? If you notice, again, as you're turning to Galatians chapter 5, that last Sunday night and this Sunday night is completely different. Especially the study guides are completely different than what I would usually present or have you to participate in the sermon with me. But what I'm beginning to realize is this, is that we're living in a different time. And, I mean, think about this. I was one raised watching 30-minute TV shows. And I had three five-minute breaks in the middle of that to go to the bathroom and do what I needed to. What are our children looking at today? 1 to 3-minute videos on TikTok. And their brains are going to be wired different than ours are. I mean, that's just the bottom line. The education system's trying to catch up with it. They're trying to learn what to do, and I think it's the same way in the ministry. Not that we're going to change the message, but we may need to change a little bit of the method because the wiring in the brain is literally different from what it is with us. And so I'm an old man now, and I like what I like. I like my rut. You know, I like the way I do it. But I want to be willing to do it a different way. And so tonight we're going to try something different as we look at the Scripture. Now again, the fruit of the Spirit is nothing new. As we look over in Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Now notice, the law is not against such things. Now those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. May God add the blessings to the Scripture. But this morning, the past few weeks, as we've looked at the Sermon on the Mount, if you remember, the idea and one of the themes of Christ's preaching is that it's a kingdom-minded people. He's preaching in the Beatitudes about what kingdom people are to be like, the attributes or the traits that we're supposed to have. Then as we look over in the next passage where it talks about you are the salt of the earth, and you are the light lifted on the hill, that's what we're to be like. As kingdom people, we are to preserve. As kingdom people, we are to reveal or shine a light. And those are evidence of who we are. They tell that we're not of this world, but we're of another kingdom. We don't follow underneath an earthly king or an earthly law. We follow under a heavenly king and under a heavenly truth. And so, if you remember, Jesus Christ used the idea of trees a lot when he was teaching. You remember the olive tree is a representation of what? The nation of Israel, you remember? And then the fig tree, you remember it was a picture of what should be bearing fruit, but remember Jesus cursed it and it didn't bear the fruit. And so we see even in the branches of the grapevine that I am the vine, ye are the branches. And all of those things, all of those are vegetation, but they all have something in common. And that is that they bear what? Fruit. Something, the fruit is a product that they were there. Whether you can eat it or whether it's good for us, that doesn't matter. Every living plant, it has something that declares that even after it's dead and gone, that it was here. That it was a plant, it was a bush, it may be a pine tree, and it has the little floaty seed that's in the pine cone. It may be an oak tree. It may be a banana tree or it might be an apple tree, but each one of them produce something in their life that tells the rest of us what type of tree that is. And the same is true for every believer. The Bible says now it's not about what we do and what we don't do. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. But because I'm in a relationship with Amy, there are things that are produced in my life. Because I love her, I've changed this, or I'll do that, or I'll try to help her X, Y, and Z. Why? Because that is a product of my love for her. It is evidence of our relationship. And the same is true with our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit moves in on the day that we're saved, that it seals us unto the day of redemption. But it also empowers us with life and with a gift that we use for His kingdom. And so another thing about not just that fruit is a product of any living thing, it also identifies the tree. Now think about it. A pecan tree, what is a product of a pecan tree? Not a pecan, I promise you that. But a peach tree, an oak tree, you know, every one of them, they produce. If I say that it's poison ivy? That's a product as well, right? It's producing something that tells us, positive or negative, it tells us that not only is it alive, but is it going to be beneficial or negative to our lives? And then a healthy tree is beneficial to all those around it. Now think about it. If an apple tree is producing good apples, what does that mean for the vegetation or those that eat the apple tree? They're usually going to be healthy, right? They're going to be good. But if the apple tree produces rotten apples or something is wrong with those apples, what does it do? It affects the nature around it. It only takes one pine tree. We used to get it, we called it pine rot. If it got in one pine tree, man, it would run through the whole planted area that was there. Why? Because fruit of the tree or of the vessel affects not only itself, but it affects those that are around it. Matter of fact, Brother Paul told me something I'll never forget. How often do you see an apple tree eat an apple? Never. The fruit that's produced is for someone else. It's for something else. If we're eating or thinking that we should be eating of our own fruit, then guess what? We've got a messed up view of what we're to be doing. Amen. And so as we think about the fruits of the Spirit again, remember that it is the fruit of the Spirit is the product of our lives. It identifies who we are and what is what we're truly about, what we're made up of. The Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit gives the believer a new life. It, like I said before, in John chapter 7, beginning in verse 37, it says, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood and cried out, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Whosoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, as for yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, the Holy Spirit was still working at that time, but under the new covenant, we see that it is more prominent. Paul affirms it over in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. In fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to them. Okay, again, there's a lot of things that we measure our salvation by, isn't there? Are we right with God? Our church attendance, the amount of money we give, the times that we read our Bible in a week. But what does the Lord say? He says, hey, there's one way for you to judge, and that is the Spirit of God living within you? Do you know that the third person of the Trinity has taken up home within you? Now, I know he has, because there's times that I can't deny that there is something else that's living inside of me. But also I know it because the Bible tells me so. Amen. Because there's some times that you can't go by feeling. We all want to feel it. We all want to get those goosebump tingles and run up our neck, but not every day is a goosebump day. That's why we have the Word, that we can have faith in what He's told us. Even when we don't feel it, we trust what He's told us. Amen? But also when we don't feel it, we can look for the fruits of the Spirit. And again, the outward aspects of doing this, doing that, the moral parts, you know, it can be faked. It can be made to look good. But now what we're talking about tonight, the genuine fruits of the Spirit, I don't think you can fake it. Now, you may can at the job sometimes, but and maybe in the church or at the home, but sooner or later, what's in you comes out of you. That's what the Bible tells us, that it's what comes out of a man that defiles the man. So tonight I want us to look at the fruits of the Spirit, but what I've done on yours is it's a fruit salad. I've given the definition of all nine of the fruits of the Spirit. And this time I didn't give you no, like last week, you remember, I gave you biblical references. I ain't giving you no references tonight. I'm like, y'all too smart. So what I want to do is I want us to go through and I want to talk about not only what the answer is, but how that should be displayed in our life, okay? Are you ready? I'm asking for a little back and forth, all right? All right, fill in the blank. I'll read it again. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against these things. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. All righty. The first one, fill in the blank. Let's straighten this fruit salad out, all right? While we have the moral high ground and the authority of God's Word, we're to be willing to lower ourselves, not demanding of divine judgment, but being understanding of another's situation, power under control of mercy and grace. Anybody want to take a shot? Gentleness or meekness? Now, how would you describe meekness in your own words? Because this is a hard one. It is. When we think about Jesus, when he was there being tempted of the devil, he could have called the legions of angels, couldn't he? When he was on the cross, he could have just bucked right off. And remember, he said, "No man takes my life. I lay it down." But yet we also know that he spoke to the wind and it stopped, and he spoke to the waves and they quit crashing. That is power under control. That is meekness. Even though you can, you don't. Now, how should this play out in our lives? What would be an example of the gift of the, or the fruit of the Spirit in our daily walk? You're at Walmart. How is the fruit of the Spirit of meekness and what is it? Gentleness is the other one. How should that be displayed in your average weekly shopping? Huh? Amen. Well, it's, you know, how bad do they really need that thing that I need? You know what I mean? It's, maybe I should have said on, what's the day after Thanksgiving? Black Friday. Yeah, how would that play out? Amen. There you go, sister. That's the way. That's humble. I'm going to lay so low that I'm going to be under the covers by the time. Does anyone have a struggle with this that you'd like to share, or maybe an example of how God's used it in your life? I know that there's been men around me that at any time they've had all reason to jerk my collar and straighten me out many times, but yet in meekness and love they would wait and come back later on. And I'm thankful that they've loved me like that. All right, any questions before we move to number two? The deliberate preference of right to wrong, the firm and persistent resistance and rejection of all immoral and evil, and the purposeful choosing to follow all that is moral and good. Now, I've got goodness. The idea there being all that is the comparison between the immoral and evil to that which is moral and good. You know, and that's one thing that I believe today that we're losing in our country. That because there is no wrong, you get what I'm saying? There, you have to be against something. Not everything is right and good, but we're living in a time where even our modern churches will not stand up and say, this is wrong. Because if there's not any wrong, then is there any right? There has to be the standard. You know, Jesus Christ, our God, he's not just loving, he's not just moral, he's not just kind. That is who he is in his being. If you take away his morality, if you take away his kindness, or you take away his love, or any of his attributes, you don't have our God. You know, he is 100% pure. And anything opposite of that is what? Evil. And so the fruit of the Spirit is that we want what is good. We want what is good. And I told y'all this a few weeks ago. God has been doing something in my life that's kind of just weird. I never thought about the inner cities. I mean, that's the city. I'm a country boy. But I got to thinking about those young boys that live in Chicago, and they're toting guns at the age of 13, 14, killing one another, shooting one another. That's not right. That's not good. And we should be concerned about our fellow man. And they're fighting over something that they'll never own. Something that it'll just pass right on after they die to the next one. But yet, we'll look at other countries and we'll see where they bring their little children and make them fight in wars and stuff like that, and our heart will break. You see, there's not much difference, though, is there? Not much difference. Goodness. You know, America has the heart of a good nation. Amen. We were created and founded on good things, godly things. All right, any thoughts about good? How should that play out in our lives on a daily basis? Choosing what is moral and rejecting that which is wrong. Amen. Amen.
You should do something good for someone every day.
I think that we'll be presented every day with an opportunity to do someone good. And either we choose to do that good or we choose not to. And if we choose not to, then what is it? We can say it's indecision, and we can say we just pushed it down the line, but if God put that in our place for us to do good, to them that knoweth to do good and doeth not, it is sin. Amen. Amen. All right, the next one. An intense affection, benevolence, carrying a burden for another's blessing. That last part ought to give it away. It's love. That's right. It's agape. I knew if I put that in there, y'all would get it, so I didn't even put that there. But remember, the root of that agape is where you are so committed to another that you're willing to take on the burden so that another may be blessed. The picture of Christ going to the cross. He took our punishment, and what a beautiful picture that is. But how is that agape love to be displayed in our lives on a daily basis? Is there times where you choose or I choose to bear the burden so that another can be blessed? That when you say the idea of a burden means a weight upon you. It's not going to be comfortable. It's not going to be easy. But the other person's life may never be the same again because of that. You know, with your spouse, I think it needs to begin at home. You know, that we love our spouse as Christ loves us, you know. And there's many times that I bypass taking on the burden and let her take the burden just because I want my feet kicked up on the couch, you know. So begin at home before we go out. All right, any thoughts on agape, the fruit of the Spirit? Are you seeing these in your life? I'm not seeing enough of them, I'll put it that way. There's little sprouts here and there, but, you know. The next one, soundness, a state of serenity, or certainty, harmony and tranquility in the midst of life's ups and downs. I can stop right there. You won't give me that answer? C, peace, that's it. Amen. Amen. And, you know, peace is not just being in harmony with what's around you, you know, in your situation. It's also being in harmony with your Creator. And when you're surrounded by people that are in harmony with their Creator, in harmony with you, then yes, the peace builds up and you have that. And the Bible says that we're to feed off of one another's peace. We're to feed off one another's joy. And so how does peace enter our lives? By what? The Spirit. The Spirit and the Word, right? The Spirit of God which lives in us that has the mind of Christ is what we're told in 1 Corinthians. That it can literally allow us to think in the way that God thinks because He is God. Now, not in everything, but He gives us that understanding. And so then He takes the Word of God where it says, "My peace I give unto you. My peace I leave, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me." God takes His truth and the power of the Holy Spirit, that resurrection power, and it abides in us that even though what we're seeing and what we're feeling, we can have that harmony and that joy in the midst of the situation. Now, I'm not saying I've got it all the time. I'm not even saying I got it 50% of the time. But I'm saying that it's available to me because of the Holy Spirit that lives within me. And it's available to whosoever. Any thoughts? Where does this peace... Where does this peace come into play in our daily lives? That's exactly what I was thinking about. I mean, the economy has me concerned. I mean, the way that they're wanting to change our monetary system, and we're seeing it changed. I mean, there are what we're going on around us doesn't concern you, there's something wrong with you. But we know this. When the flood came, what did God do? He put his hands around his children and he delivered them from the hardness. Every time we see anything hard, God's people are covered and cared for. And I do believe that at any moment we could be raptured out of here. And you know what? I also look forward to it. Never in my life have I had the expectation of glory as I do now. Any other thoughts on peace tonight? My wife will put me in the, where's that place up around Roanoke for those? Marion? Yeah, she'll send me to Marion. I talk like that too much. All right. Doing good. Number five. The act of doing good. The act of doing good to show favor, affection, but not simply as a one-time event, but as a state of living. Kindness. Amen. Kindness. You know, I'll never forget one day that I had somebody, it was at this McDonald's, they bought my meal. I was behind them, and they bought my meal. And you know that, you'll remember somebody expressing the kindness in your life. You'll also remember when somebody doesn't express kindness or gentleness in your life and they choose to give you harshness and a kick in the mouth. How should kindness be displayed? Where should kindness be displayed in our lives? Always. Everywhere we go. I seen in my life, my motto was, I want to err to the side of mercy, grace, and kindness. But I've seen in my life that you can drift away from that. But that's what Jesus always did. He always drifted that way. Anybody or drifted to grace, mercy, and kindness? Anybody want to tell of a time where maybe kindness was shown to you?
When you're sitting at piles of
somebody in front of you,
you go with
them. Amen. It is. Well, I tell you, in Gatlinburg, I pray to God that he gives me a hole to get out of. I mean, literally, I ask the Lord, you got to give me a spot or I ain't going to get out of this place. But, you know, kindness can go just to the fact of telling somebody they do their job well. They do their job well. God showed me that with a waitress one day. You could tell she was having a bad day. I didn't know what was going on, but I looked at her and I said, I just want you to know that you do your job good. And she did. She had kept my, I didn't have to ask her for a refill, but she was going to get a good tip that day. But just a kind word, just taking the extra moment to tell someone that Jesus loves them more or that you've prayed for them. I know there's been many a day that somebody's told me they've prayed for me, then that's made my day a whole lot better. Any thoughts on kindness? All right, number six. A state of gladness, cheerfulness, delight. Not just an outward expression, but a state of being. An excitement and anticipation for our future. Joy, yep. Good deal. What is the joy? What is the difference between joy and happiness, if there is one? Yeah, amen. Happiness is based on what is happening most of the time. Joy is something that is deeper than just an emotion. It is a state of being, knowing that there is a future, there's a plan, that this is the only hell I'll ever have to face, is on this side of death. Any thoughts? How is this joy displayed in our life? One way is that when we lose a loved one that knows Christ Jesus, that we have that hope and joy that this is not the end, that we're going to be reunited. Even though the relationship may be different, we will be reunited with our loved ones. Any other thoughts on joy? All right, number 7. When feeling a pull to self and sin, you're able to withstand the pull by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, every day we feel something that we know may not be right, but it would make us feel good to cut off somebody in traffic or to cuss somebody else that's done you wrong, to kick your dog because he didn't use the pad like he was supposed to. Or, now that lets you know, that's real at my house right now. That's where we live in. But how is the joy, or excuse me, you feel that pull. What do you think that is would be called there? Number 7. King James uses the word temperance there. And I think we're living in a time where self-control is about to be thrown out the window. You know? That basically, if you feel it, do it. If you're motivated, if that's what animals do, correct? And they just allow nature and instinct to control them. And that's what we've been taught, that we're just an animal that's a little bit more evolved. But praise God, the power of the Holy Spirit is greater than our flesh. And again, we see this, not that we're going to overcome every temptation. Believe you me, I probably give in to more temptations than I actually overcome. But the power is there, and as I grow, I learn how to allow that power to be controlled instead of my own desires. Anyone want to talk about a day, everyday occurrence, how the temperance or self-control should be revealed in our lives or played out? Well, you're supposed to, ain't you? there's a lot of people don't know how to drive either. We went out of town. That's the rich money lane. That's the big money lane. That's ticket paying lane over there. That one, I don't drive in that one too much. But it is trying. When you deal with people, and there's a situation right now that me and Amy's trying to deal with. We've made phone call after phone call. We're trying to get a replacement tag. We've made phone call to this bank, phone call to that DMV. I've did all that, and still, I don't know if I'm going to get a tag. Don't know if I'm going to get the tag or not. But welcome to the DMV. Hey, now, I'm going to tell you what. I will give credit where credit's due. That lady down there at Lee County's, she helped me out. She got me on the right track, if nothing else. But not everybody else has been that easy for me to control myself with. All right, 2 more. Number 8, conviction and consistency in what one believes and trusts. One that is dependable in belief and walk. Faithfulness. Now, how would you describe faithfulness? One word would be reliable. You can count on it. I mean, like the battery in your car. Every morning we go out, most of us, we don't even think about our battery. Why? Because it's reliable. It's consistent. It's there. And I think that that's the way we need to be in our relationship with Christ. That whatever He's called us to do, not that we're going to, you know, the battery don't always crank up even though it's been reliable. But that's where we're to be. Is there anything that you can think about in our society where people used to be faithful? No, I'm taking away from the church now. Don't use the church. But anything in just our everyday living where people used to be faithful, but now that faithfulness is gone. Knowing your neighbor, yep. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Exactly. Amen, sister. There ain't any of them that I would count on. Anyone else? One thing about our society that I've seen wane is that taking care of our elderly. You know, used to, you did the best you could to keep grandma in the house with you or to keep her in her house. Now there's been a society shift. Now, if you can't take care of them, get them to where they need to be taken care of, they can. But we've lost that value of the elderly, the wisdom that they have. A lot of good-minded ones may be still not able physically or just stuck back into a home. And now think about it. If you're devaluing the children and you're devaluing your elderly, what's left? I mean, it's going to be less and less. There's a faithfulness that when you serve Christ, you'll be faithful in other areas. And as we've seen our country fall away from Christianity, we've seen faithfulness in other areas wane. Any thoughts on that? This is the hardest one, so I made it the last one, but it's also the easiest one because there's only one letter left, right? In the Greek, it is made up of two words meaning distant and angry. It is present. It is presented clearly in the way that God deals with sinful men. What's the answer to that one? Long-suffering, patience. And that's one of the verses we claim for our prayer meeting. 1 Peter, I think it is, chapter 3, verse 9, that God is not slack, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, I'm not going to tell you to pray for patience because I was told not to do it myself. But where is one area in our lives where patience is a must? Raising children, dealing with your husband, right, Amy? Her grandmama told her one time about her granddaddy, "You don't know half the stuff that I have to put up with from your granddaddy." And she was like, "Oh, surely he couldn't be like that." Well, guess what? She's saying now to others, "You don't know half the stuff I have to deal with your daddy." So, any thoughts on the fruit of the Spirit? Thank you for coming out tonight. Thank you for being here, and it does me good to see y'all. Next, this Wednesday night, we'll probably be continuing on with our study. We'll be looking there at divorce. And that'll bring us to the middle of the, but I say unto you, so come and maybe do a little bit of study on that. Anything else before we close? Brother John, would you close us out in a prayer? Amen. God bless you. And my friend that surrendered to preach, he's in the pulpit right now. So lift up a word of prayer for Jamie Taylor.